Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
And good evening.
Well, you know, if you're just joining us in the extra hour, my goodness, we talked about in the first hour technology, Google Glass, 3D printing of ears and body parts, and transhuman. You just got to get this.
Yeah, man. Crazy stuff.
And you gotta abide. I mean, just gotta abide. You gotta talk to Jesus about all this.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you gotta get a word from God. You gotta know what to do with the news that you're getting, right? You gotta know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about Second Amendment rights. So important. So important. And of course, being yoked with Jesus. But you know, as we go into the extra hour, we're going to be talking about the Third Great Awakening. We're going to be talking about what touches God. Did you know you can touch God? You can touch Him.
Wow!
And we're going to talk about what touches Him, though. What is it that touches God? Well, one of the things for sure. And we're going to get to the VFN top three on the torch. But right now, we're going to listen to the Third Great Awakening. Listen, God is getting ready to do something so powerful on the face of this earth that no man has not seen at this point. I mean, we're going to see such a huge harvest of souls. You know, the darkest, just when you think it was all over, you know, the darkest part of the day is right in the morning, right before the sun's about to go. It's the darkest point. Let me tell you, it seems like it's dark right now. And it could get even darker, but I'm telling you that there is a harvest, a great harvest of souls that are coming into the kingdom in the last days. And I want you to listen to this segment as Greg shares with us that the Third Great Awakening is coming, but there's a price. There's a price to pay to get the soil right.
Our vision and what God has spoken, this relationship that we have right now, this conversation that we're in, it's a divine thing. It's a divine thing that God had began this conversation for quite some time ago, and now He wanted to bring the conversation to this point. And even as we're speaking, mm-hmm. that conversation is getting deeper and more defined and getting ready for the nations,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hearing more clearly what the Lord has said and is going to do. And the Lord's name is going to be magnified. It's going to be the greatest harvest you've ever seen. But if you go back, and it's been so long since we were an agricultural society where every one of us farmed and grew mm-hmm. our own things, that before you plant a garden, before, you know, you, every great harvest begins with hard soil. You know, it begins with soil that's unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be prepared. If it's just dirt, I mean, what's the big deal? You just take the tiller out, you take your hoe out, you know, you take your tractor out, and you put your forks down deep into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Go, you know, maybe 12 inches into the soil. You know, imagine like 12 or so forks behind your tractor, and you're just dragging it, and you're breaking up that hard ground. You're breaking it up, and then you're throwing in nutrients, and then you have these little discs, and then you're disking it all in. They spin around. And
wow, you must have done this before with such detail. You described this process.
Yes.
I didn't know you were a farm extraordinaire.
Yes, yes, yes. You know how it is. And Pat,
we're learning, Pat.
I know who to call. Some things we didn't know, did we?
Huh?
No.
And then after they pull these rakes across, yeah. I'm talking about if you have a small tractor or big, just say a small tractor, and then you have these discs that spin around, and they kind of sift all the nutrients in the soil and all the things that you put in there, and now you're ready to plant. And then when you're ready to plant, you take a pointed trowel, if you would, and pull it behind your tractor, and it goes down deep into the prepared soil, and it puts a trench all the way through the soil, and it pushes other things aside, soil aside, so that you can drop the seed in that trench and systematically drop them in a certain, depending what you're growing. And then it covers it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, that's just so neat. That's just so wonderful how that works. And then you water it, and you go through all these processes of keeping the weeds out of it, and you put your rows a certain distance apart so that your tractor can come through those rows and you can weed it with the tractor. If not, you got to weed, 14 acres with a hoe. So if you put it far enough apart, you can drive your tractor through there and clean out all the weeds in between. And then eventually you have a harvest. The things grow up, the blade, the stem, the fruit, and all that. And you harvest it and you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves the harvest. But when it comes time to preparing the soil, very few people are lined up for the opportunity.
Mm.
And it's sad to say today that even Americans, most Americans, wouldn't even line up to help pull the corn off the stock. They would say, well, let me know when you got it off, you got it canned or got it frozen or,
I'll help you eat it.
I'll help you eat it. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much.
And, but that's just, that is the earth. But the soil of the kingdom, we're talking about a move of God. The soil of the kingdom is the heart of men. And if we want a move of God, and we do, we're believing God for a third great awakening. It's not over till God says it's over, and you got to hear
that's
that.
Right.
It is not over till God says it's over. I don't care if your back is up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming to take your head off. If you're looking up and you're listening to God, it ain't over till God says it's over. Because he can part the soil in men's hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's cool when it's the dirt on the earth, but it's the soil of your heart that's hard. And God says, okay, we're going to have a great harvest here. What's the first thing that's going to happen? He's going to break up the hard soil in your heart, our hearts, right? He's going to break up the hard-heartedness. So he's going to let us go through situations that just cause our hearts to be contrite. That's the word. It says God does not turn away from a contrite heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what contrite means? It means crushed to powder rock.
Wow.
Somebody says, yeah, God doesn't turn away from a broken heart. No, a contrite heart. It's like crushed heart it was one big boulder rolling through your yard one day, and now it's like some talcum powder you put on your foot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that crushed. Mm. It's crushed rock. And so basically, it's so what seems like it's horrific right now, you're looking at something about to happen to America that it's just going to rip it apart.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what you do to the soil of the earth when you're getting ready to begin through a process of bringing forth a harvest?
That's right.
I mean, you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in the earth, and you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in men's hearts,
mm-hmm.
the hard-hearted. And God's not going to move. You're not going to have a harvest in the spiritual realm on top of hard hearts. And you're not going to have a harvest in natural ground on hard soil. You're not going to be able to throw your seed on top of the soil. The seed has to go down into the soil, and it has to die. Because unless the seed dies, it won't bear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now these hard things that are coming and has come and is coming to the world and America, understand this, to us, the church, it's just going to make us prepared for a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
If we misunderstand it, it could offend us.
Mm-hmm.
If our God is not God, and our God is our job or our money or things or stuff or whatever, that's we're going to mess up. But if we understand God is our God and that everything's Father filtered, and that the hard hearts have to be first softened and tilled and plowed And when those forks are going into hard earth, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But when those forks being pulled behind a holy tractor is going through your heart, it's not cool.
Mm.
I mean, how could this all work out?
Right.
I'm being ripped apart by people that I love. I'm being ripped apart by my employer. I'm being ripped apart. I'm being ripped to shreds. How can anything good come from this brokenness in my life? Right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that brokenness happens, and then you're in God's word, and you're abiding with him. And if you haven't begun to abide, go to iabide.org and get a plan now. A simple plan, because you want, when you're being ripped apart, you want, when those discs of situations begin to come and stir up the soil in your heart, you want something to be in there other than the same thing just being moved around a lot.
Mm. I know, that's right.
It's no different than in what it was prior to the breaking of the soil. If you didn't put nothing, no nutrients in that soil when it starts being disked, it's called disking the soil, and it's basically like sifting. There was years ago, by the way, used to be able to, you had to buy flour and you had to sift it first.
Mm-hmm.
You had the sifter thing, and it would just, you shake it, bang it, twist it, spin it, different kinds of things, and it would take and bring out the fine parts of it. But the soil is like that. And so if you're hiding God's word in your heart, if you are abiding with God and going through this broken times that we're going to go through, I don't see, I hope I'm wrong. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love air conditioning. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I don't think a lot of us are. I mean, we're hearing the same thing. And we're seeing it. Like, we're already seeing part of it already come to pass. Mm-hmm. It's already happened. It's history. Yeah, but it was a prophetic thing to us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke it, and then we saw it. And now there's other parts that still have to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. It's going to be talk about the Secret Service. We're going to talk about what happened in Libya. We're going to talk about some things the Lord has revealed to us. But if you don't have any word in your life, you're going to go through this like everybody else. I mean, you're going to go through this ripping and this crushing and this disking, and it's just going to knock around your same situation. I mean, if you had a bad attitude that you didn't get rid of before this happened, you're just going to have a bad attitude knocked around, sifted around a little bit.
That's right.
If you were robbing God beforehand and you never began to honor God, for example, then you're just sifting a whole bunch of robbery around, you know? But if you repent and begin to abide and hide God's word in your heart, just keep on hiding, even though it may feel like it's nothing happening at this point. And understand it's the breaking up of the soil of your heart. It's the disking of that word, mixing it in with your life, that the kingdom, which starts out as a seed in your heart, will begin to grow. And it'll begin to develop. And out of that long process and the watering is the teachings of God's word. You let the teachings of Moses rain down on us. So when you hear the teachings, you go to VFN TV, understand you're watering that seed. You're watering that soil. If you try to live without water, you know, you're not going to have a harvest. But you got to plant the seed, hide the seed, let the soil be tilled in your heart. Let the thing be disked up, mixed up inside the soil of your heart. But then you got to continue to let the teachings of Jesus just rain down over you. And that's why you can go to VFN TV and let them rain down over you.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, one day, when it looked like it was over, I mean, what once was a forest is now flatland, total dirt. You don't see anything because everything is underground. But underground, if you were to look, you can see that dead seed now became alive and is starting to bud. And one day, there's nothing more exciting than when you're planting a garden when you see that first break out of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And so this is a move of God. I mean, it's going to come with great brokenness. It's a stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-hearted, robbing God culture right now in the church.
Right.
And we're going to talk about in the extra hour that we are a subculture and not a counterculture. We're called to be nonconformists to the culture of this world. And we're so conformed. I'm going to talk to you. Listen. This is going to blow you away, but you've got to catch the extra hour. We have ministers putting peanut butter in armpits of other believers and making a sandwich with it in the presence of the church. We're going to talk about this is what's going on right now. Hundreds and hundreds of young people are watching ministers stand on the stage as adults are leaving just disgusted.
Wow.
Mm.
Because we've taken on the world. We're just, it's just, we're not, we're, and you got to hear about this. We got to stop it. We're not called to be or act like the world. We're called to be in it, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to be transformed and not to be nonconformist when it comes to the cultures, the sinful cultures of the world, but to be in it, but not of it. And we're going to talk about it. It's just terrible things are taking place. And it's because the church has become like the world, a subculture to it. But believe it or not, that's crazy. It's not, you ain't heard. You got to tune into the extra hour today to be able to hear more about that.
Wow.
But this is how, you know, the only way you're going to deal with junk like that is like huge brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have to take everything away, and then you're going to have to begin to restore it and plow it and plant it and water it for a while with the teachings of God's word and begin to get that seed watered. And you can set yourself up now for a great harvest to come if you listen to these processes and how God does things. You can't just look at the soil and scream at it and say, produce something. You can't stand on the soil of your heart and look up to heaven and shout at God and say, what's your problem? Give, how come something hasn't happened yet? And he's like, you're hard-hearted. You will not let me do anything. Anything that comes in your life that brings brokenness, you avoid it. Mm. You avoid all these relationships because they cause you to be broken and humbled and causes you to be needy and all these different things, and you don't want that, so you're hard-hearted, and seed doesn't grow on hard hearts.
Right.
But the kingdom of God is like a seed. This is what Jesus said. It's like a seed. And it goes inside of us, and at that point, there's a small part of God's dominion in our life, and it has to grow. And if we will allow God to begin, as we are abiding with Jesus, to transform us, it will get bigger and bigger, and eventually there'll be less of us and more of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As we get more of him, there'll be less of us. We cannot make less of us to get more of him, because that would be works. But as we receive more of Jesus and his ways grow in our life, and then all of a sudden we just start disappearing, and we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about third grade awakening, and you hear us talk about on BFN Radio. It's going to take, brokenness is coming. I mean, brokenness is coming. We've prepared and prepared and prepared so that we can, by God's grace, stay faithful. But there's it's just nothing more irritating than somebody that won't die. It's like, I'm not talking about, you remember the old movies? You know, the old black and white movies, and they take them like 20 minutes to die. They throw their head back, and they walk across.
Right.
And it's like, you know,
like, die already,
this
please.
Is so unfair. This is so unfair because, you know, you died a long time ago, and you got somebody who's actually justifying why they're not dying.
Mm.
And so it's just like, die. What are you living for? You know, die. Mm-hmm. And not death, but die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot of dying in America to ourselves, the church, because it's so such an idolatrous culture.
That's right.
It's about self. It really is about self. I mean, you cannot build a traditional flower pot unless you have 4 points about self and how to be a better self. But if you start talking about deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and you know, and quit robbing God and all these different things, you could downsize your flower pot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can downsize it. Remember Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, then his disciples said, okay, we can order a smaller building now. We can lease this one out.
Mm.
All right.
We need something about the size of 12. It'll hold 12. This is what happened.
All right.
And so understand that if God's going to move, and we believe he will if we'll respond to him, and it means we're willing to be plowed, we're willing to be pruned, we're willing to be disked, we're willing to be go through the process of seed time, understanding there's seed time and there's harvest time. There's no harvest time without seed time.
Mm.
And then allow the teachings, of the true teachings from God's word, not just some sort of touch three people and shout, it's mine, you know, not that kind of stuff. But just teachings from God's word that you can verify in scriptures, this is what God says. Then that will water that seed, and God will move.
Mm-hmm.
But he responds to us. He responds to our hunger. What produces hunger? Desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have to be quite often in we take water for granted unless we're in a desert.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're real picky about food unless we haven't had food for a while.
Right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Even warm water. I think if Pat goes without water for like 30 days, he'll even drink warm water.
Imagine that. I like to see that.
They know your secret now. They'll tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow before this thing, but they'll tell him, you drink the warm water. I know God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't, he's still God. He drinks the water. But that means that we can get involved in a move of God, that we can begin to participate. So many times, one man got hungry for God, and God responded. Now it's time for his whole church to get hungry for him. Mm. All of us to respond to the great shepherd. Listen, I don't care if your back is against the Red Sea and Pharaoh, your mother-in-law, our father-in-law, or your children, or your boss, or your country is coming after you. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. It ain't over till God says it's over. Mm. And he says that if my people who are called by my name will understand this process. Humbling yourself is not just, you know, making yourself look sad. Mm-hmm. It's following God's way of doing things. Mm. It's total dependency on God. This is how God does things. I need to humble myself. I need to allow God to break my heart. Mm-hmm. I have to be willing to suffer loss, delay, mm-hmm. Brokenness. I have to be willing for people to leave me who don't want God. I have to be willing to be called the devil when I'm actually doing the best I've ever done for God.
Right.
So you're calling me the devil now? I mean, what about the time? And they called Jesus Satan. You got to be willing to be hated by man to be loved by God. And there is a teaching that I want to make available on VFN TV. You got to hear it. Are you ready to be hated? You have to understand, we're moving into a culture right now. We're coming to the end of the first hour. That, by the way, if you don't know this or not, you're hated. But you have to be willing to be hated for a move of God.
That's right.
For God to move and pour himself out. And right now, there is just, Satan is just, Pat Robinson calls it, no, not Pat Robinson, but somebody else called it, one of our intelligent officers, that said that Islam is having a temper tantrum across the earth because somebody, you know, blasphemed their prophet. And America needs to rise up to the occasion and say, knock it off. And right. That was his response. And they're not right now. And we'll talk more about that in the extra hour. But understand this, that the God's greater than all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it may take that stuff for the church to be broken, to be humbled.
Mm.
This is what he says in his word. He says very specifically that the reason why pagans rule over your kings, your priests, and all of you. It's because of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to change into godly leadership until we ourselves put God's leadership in our heart. We have to intentionally follow God in our hearts. That's how things change.
Right.
And it looks like pagan leaders, I mean, you know, literally pagans. We have people that are in our leadership, they're going to work, people openly going, hey, I'm a pagan.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, wow. I really respect you because most pagans don't even say they are.
That's right.
I can identify with you because then you just need somebody to understand. It's always interesting to me, why does somebody deny a God they don't believe in? It's like, why waste your breath and your time? It's because you know he's real.
That's right.
And if your plane was going down, you're not going to cry out, pagan, you're going to cry out, Jesus, God, help me. It's amazing how that works.
Oh my goodness. Who thought? Who knew?
Right.
Who knew that the ground that needed to be broken was us? Oh my goodness. Third great awakening is coming.
Yeah.
But it's going to come through what? The breaking of hard ground.
That's right. Hard hearts.
Hard hearts. And who thought it? Who knew? Who knew? Right. Also remembered something. I found out something interesting again too. Warm water, Chris. Write that down. Warm water.
Warm water.
I got it. Write that down.
I got it. All right.
Okay. Make sure that's a. We're gonna waterboard them. Here you go. Drink it. Drink it. But think about it. I mean, we're believing for a third great awakening, and just things just don't happen. You know what I mean? It just listen. We got to contend for this. We want God to move. We want to honor the Lord. You know, God's not going to show up in our mess like that and just, you know, come on. It takes a spirit of humility. It takes, you know, reality, looking in the mirror, And we have a highlight. We want to share that when we come back. But you got to look in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
and be willing to say, you know what? Okay, God, go as deep as you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Use whatever tool you need to use.
Right.
And break up any area of my heart that's been hardened mm-hmm. to you.
That's right.
Just go ahead and till up the soil. Up the soil. We got to be willing to be pruned. We got to be willing to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability mm-hmm. and humility where God can work on us. Listen, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to see God move in such an awesome way? Isn't it worth it to see loved ones and family and friends and people we've been praying for years
mm-hmm.
come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful to see, you know, people abiding and growing with God and raising mm-hmm. up spiritual children?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Isn't it worth it for the advancement of God's kingdom on the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. We need a desperate move of God. I'm telling you, America in particular is in trouble.
Right.
And guess what? The rest of the world looks to America. And if we're in trouble, hello.
Right.
Catch a clue.
That's right.
But I mean, it all starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just think about it. I mean, how do you think we came to the Lord? You know,
yeah.
God had to break our hearts
mm-hmm.
to yeah. get to us.
Yeah.
You know, we all come from different backgrounds and situations, how we got there.
That's right.
But the fact of the matter is our hearts had to be broken first.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Before that seed could actually produce.
That's right.
You know, an analogy he used earlier, which is great. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, the ground's got to be broken up before you can plant anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just going to burn up.
That's right.
Because it's not, nothing's going to grow.
Right.
That's right. And seeds will bounce off that heart. Bing!
Doing.
Yep.
And it's like, you can't come to God, which we've talked quite a bit about how to turn to God and repenting and mm-hmm. going after Him. You can't come to God with a hard heart. You can't come to God with a critical spirit. Okay, mm-hmm. you finally got me to come amongst the fellowship. Okay, I'm here. Give me your best shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it doesn't
Wrong.
Work that way. It doesn't work. You're not going to inspect God. You're not going to pick and choose. We don't come to God from our intellect. We come to God in a place of recognizing that, God, I just realized you're God and I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we come to a place of lower still. Mm-hmm. And we're at that place. Then we're ready. When the heart becomes softened mm-hmm. and a lot of times people are trying to share the gospel with people that don't even want to receive it. At what point have I told you 20 different times, don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the people on the street corner screaming at people.
Yeah.
Where's it going?
Well, people are begging. Some people are begging like, you know, someone said, you know, why should another person hear the gospel yet again when some people have never heard it once? And it's like, you know, at what point do you get the clue that the person you're still trying to throw the gospel seed at, share with, is at this point not ready? God's mm-hmm. asking, we're going to continue to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus didn't stop. He kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
He kept it moving. Yeah. You got to keep it moving. Doesn't mean you right. can't come back full circle and say, are you done yet?
They're
you
just not ready saying? Yet. Yeah, exactly.
Are you ready? But you don't want to stay... continue throwing seed and sharing the with someone that doesn't, it's just bouncing.
You're
right
wasting
up.
Your time.
Mm-hmm. The ground's not ready. The heart's not ready. It's not soft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. Soft soil, soft heart,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit of seed. Just a little bit of seed.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you start having growth.
That's right.
And that's why the teaching of God's word is so important. Rich teaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the rich teaching, the gospel, the word of God going forth. God's word washes over. I mean, just you need to soak in the word of God because that's what's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you.
Mm,
we're
right.
talking about a third great awakening. We're talking about a massive move of God. But it's not going to come with hard hearts. It's not going to come from a place of pride.
Right.
It's going to come to a place where we you know, I think of James Robinson's prophetic words is, you know, humility or humiliation, you choose.
That's all right.
One way or the other, every knee will bow
right.
and every tongue will confess.
That's right.
One way or the other, You get a chance to choose on this side.
Mm-hmm.
We get a chance to do that. And it's always, always lower still.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they're not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you?
The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, "What do this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need." And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, third grade awakening. My faith gets so pumped up and so raised when we start just praying and believing and talking about this third amazing wave of souls. It's good, it's beautiful. And I'm going to be a part of it. Yep. Lord willing, Lord Jesus, help Lord me willing, be a part. Lord. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. We'll talk about, come to the second half of the extra hour, what touches God? What touches God? There's a lot of things that touch God, but I think about this story in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus was headed to Jairus's house to heal his daughter. You know, Jairus's daughter was 12 years old. There was a ruler in the synagogue, and she needed healing. So Jesus was on his way. And as he's headed there in Luke 8, the word says that the crowds, everywhere Jesus went, there were crowds.
Yeah.
But the crowds were so big that they were crushing him. So the word says the crowds almost crushed him. And there was a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And the word of God says, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now, this was a woman who obviously had some serious medical issues. I mean, when you're bleeding for 12 years and it's not stopping, I would dare say major, and nobody, nowhere you can go, can help you. And Jesus yet was on his way to take care of someone else who was 12 years old. She's been suffering for 12 years, but she's going to heal someone who had another need. And while he was on the way, all these people are pressing, so much so that the word says that he was almost crushed. And yet, this woman slips in a hand and grabs the edge of his cloak, the edge of his garment, and she gets healed. But what's interesting is Jesus' next statement, and he says in verse 45, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And you know, people deny, "I didn't touch you." You know, like, "Oh, I didn't touch you." You know, and Peter, you know, Peter's always stepping in. "Let me solve this. Let me explain this to the Lord." Jesus, in case you haven't wondered, in case you didn't,
there's crowd
people
here.
Everywhere. We're in a crowd, Peter. Just, you know, I want to point this out to you. I want to point out the obvious. Mm-hmm. We're in a crowd, and probably a lot of people touched you. But the Word of God says that she didn't touch Jesus. The Word of God says that she touched the edge of his cloak. But Jesus is saying that someone touched me. Mm-hmm. Well, I touched the cloak or he touched him? I mean, which one is it here? I mean, was it the cloak that she touched or did she actually touch Jesus? And so Peter's reply, Jesus' reply, he says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Power has gone out from me.
Wow.
And so, you know, she couldn't deny this anymore. People are looking around. People are denying, you know, and she obviously was the one. And so she tells the Lord, you know, says, hey, basically, you know, I'm the one. I touched you. Mm-hmm. I touched you. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Your faith has healed you. I mean, what was on the inside of her touched the inside of what was on the inside of him.
Right.
And power left him. I mean, Jesus was on his way. He was going somewhere. He was busy. He was going to see Jairus' daughter who was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped right in his tracks and said, someone touched me. And she didn't touch him physically, but she touched the power that was on the inside of him. What was on the inside of her touched what was on the inside of him. And the Word of God tells us plainly that in Hebrews 11:6, that if we're going to please God, you know, one of the ways that we, if we're going to please the Lord, that's our every desire, right? We want to put a smile on the Lord's face, right?
Right.
Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible. No chance, no way, impossible to please God. It's that foundation. You know what I mean? It is like concrete. It is numero uno. You know,
yeah.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you think about every single thing that we do in our walk as believers, how we live our life, we're not living for this life. If we were living for this life, it'd be things would be a lot different. We aren't all living for the age to come. We are living to glorify God now, but we're living for a greater day. There is a greater day that awaits us. There is a greater time that awaits us. Mm-hmm. And so it's that belief that causes us to do the things that we do and love God and live for God in this small vapor of time that we have left. I mean, time just seems to be just flying by. We say it every day, but it just amazes me. And we talked about earlier in the week about forcing time to comply with your destiny. If you don't grab a hold of your time, you will not be able to do the things that you need to do for God in the life and the time that you have to do it.
Right.
And there's nothing like looking at the end of someone's life and then reflecting on woulda, coulda, shoulda, but you didn't. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, I'm going to seize the moment. I'm going to seize the time, which is a brief commercial here. Sorry, but, you know, time is important. And so is faith. And I think oftentimes we have paid more attention to the words of the disciples than we actually have heard of Jesus' own words. I mean, the disciples said, Lord, increase my faith. Increase our faith. And in Luke, and what we find out, when we find out that we need to pay more attention to what Jesus says. I mean, Luke 17:6, Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. Jesus was not emphasizing on getting more faith or increasing your faith, right? Because it's not about the amount of faith. It's the exercising of the faith that you already have. See, we've been given a measure of faith. And for some reason, we kind of default to, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I need more faith. Well, yeah, he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
He will do that. Mm-hmm. But what his response to the disciples wasn't, oh, okay, you need more faith. Here you go. Let me give you more faith. That wasn't his response. His response was, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is pretty small, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted into the sea, and it will obey you. We're talking about what touches God. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Was it faith or was it the exercising of her faith? You know, God wants us to exercise our faith. It's when we exercise. He says, when you say. It's not about always how much, but it's about doing with the faith that we have.
Right.
And the truth is that if we're not exercising or using the faith that God has presently given us, because he's given us a measure of it already, why would God give us any more? Why would God increase something that we're not employing? Faith is meant to be used, is meant to be exercised. Right? And so the truth is that the more you exercise your faith, the more you use your faith, the more faith you'll have. It'll just grow. Your faith will begin to grow. Because it's all in the exercising. So what does exercise faith look like? It looks like a hand coming from a crowd, touching the edge of a cloak, despite what anyone else around you may think about that. I mean, this woman had to persevere. She was sure bloody, I'm sure was a mess. Mm-hmm. And yet, she was willing. What faith exercise looks like was a hand stepping out, moving out, and touching the edge of Jesus' garment. So what does it look like? It looks like a blind man who was named Bartimaeus screaming on the side of the road what looked to the average person probably like a nut.
Nutball, yeah.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. David, don't be quiet. You are creating a scene, dude. What? So what does the exercising of your faith look like? It looks like a man who was sitting on a mat, crippled and not able to move. And because Jesus says, get up, arise, the man attempts and he starts to move and his body where it didn't move before, and he gets himself, walks off the mat. What does it look like? It looks like someone who says, I hear God's voice and I have an abiding relationship. So, I get up in the morning, I open my Bible, I read with the expectation that God is going to speak to me through his word. I'm going to hear his voice, and I'm going to follow it. A person who expects to hear the voice of God when they abide, they get up, and they get ready to meet with God. They don't grudgingly, oh, well, God is going to meet with you. You're going to meet with God. You're going to encounter the Lord. Like we talked about earlier this week, you're going to encounter Jesus. So great faith says you're going to step up and you're going to get to that moment where you're going to say, yes, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Exercised faith is all about movement on behalf of movement. It's based upon what, you know, on what God's word says that we can believe God for. More faith, asking God for more faith, sometimes implies, God, can you increase my faith? Sometimes that implies that I can't do what I need to do right now because I don't have enough faith. And God, I need you to increase faith. So I'm just going to kind of wait here. You know, I'm just going to just wait till you give me more faith. And when you give me the more faith, when you increase my faith, then I'll actually do something. I will, but I need more of the faith so I can do.
All right.
And what I'm reading here, Jesus is saying, use the faith you got. You use the faith you got. This is the faith that touches God. It's when we exercise and step outside of ourselves and step outside of our need for the pattern that we have of thinking that we need more faith and say, you know what? God's given me a measure, and I'm going to work that puppy. I'm going to work the measure of faith that I have, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to exercise it. If you don't exercise your faith, nothing will ever happen. And I think about this woman with the issue of blood. How many people probably told her, listen, 12 years, Jesus is busy. You know, he's on his, you know, but she had heard about Jesus. Jesus was going around doing good, healing all sorts of people. There were crowds. The reason why there were crowds, because something was happening.
All right.
Something was happening. And the Word of God tells us what was happening. She had heard and she wanted to be, she had faith to believe. She had faith to believe and she used and she exercised that faith. She could have been there, but it wasn't until she stretched out her hand and touched it, till she exercised it, that the power of God literally left Jesus's body. So much so that he absolutely felt it and said, someone touched me. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you today. Believe God. Believe God. Stop believing the lies of the enemy that will cause you to doubt his word, that will cause you to doubt his love for you, that will cause you to doubt that he wants to speak to you. Yes, you. If you're a son, if you're a daughter of the king, that is your inheritance. Believe. Exercise your faith and reach out and touch God. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
He's like,
yeah, do you want to believe this?
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
His beautiful, beautiful daughter, Jordan Sky, was visiting. And, it took a long time. You know, Pat, I mean, everything that Pat over the years had told me, he was made in front of me about. Everything.
I don't make fun of you.
Dude, you just, I mean, we don't have the airtime for that. We don't have the airtime for it, you know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Come on, that means you really did this wrong. So I said, Jordan, would you like some chocolate? I like dark chocolate. I like that chocolate that's like almost dirt.
Black.
Like 92% dirt. No, I like 72, something like that. I don't know something. I mean, if you get too high, it is like dirt. But anyway, so I had this dark chocolate. I mean, it's a candy bar, dude. It's a candy bar. You know what I'm saying? And I break off a piece of this candy bar, and I give it to Jordan, and she puts it in her mouth. And the first thing she says, dude, she says, "This tastes like coffee."
That's my girl.
I'm thinking, where did that come from? How could you think that chocolate tastes like coffee?
It does.
Until I realized that I saw a big foo-foo truck back at the Pat's house with chocolate creamery going into his back house, you know, loading it into his refrigerator.
I do not use foo-foo anymore.
He has a dropper.
He's powder foo-foo.
Yeah. He's got like a dropper, like a syringe of coffee, like one cc of coffee and 4 gallons of chocolate.
He has an IV of it. I mean, it's like
totally amazing. Just chocolate alone will wire you. Just eat the chocolate. Forget about the coffee, man. It'll wire you.
I guess. By the way, speaking of Jordan, you know it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jordan.
Happy birthday, Jordan. Enjoy the coffee.
Yeah. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, Jordan Sky.
That's my girl.
Have you stopped giving her that chocolate, that coffee? My goodness.
It wasn't me, dude. It wasn't me. I don't eat that mess.
You don't eat that mess. He said 92% like dirt. I don't get the whole bitter, nasty. The whole bitter coffee thing. I just don't, the bitter chocolate thing. I just don't get it.
It's,
you know?
Awful, man. It's awful.
It's awful. Like,
well, have you ever seen his coffee, how he drinks it?
Yes.
There's no difference. There's no difference.
Nope. I like the milky stuff. You know what I mean? I like the flavor, different flavor. Well, it's time. It's time to share the top three, the VFN Torch top three today. And we're so excited as we're coming to the end of the extra hour. We'd like to share these as often as we can. But the first one I want to share with you is Growing in Love. Remember that you can find all of these highlights on the Torch by going to VFNTV.com. But we discussed how, you know, in Galatians 5:13 through 14 speaks about using our freedom not to indulge ourselves in sin, but rather to serve others in love and loving our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, love has really nothing to do with self,
right?
But it has to do with loving other people,
that's
right?
That's right. That's the whole plan.
That's the whole plan. Love is a what? It's a verb, right?
That's right. It's this ooey gooey thing.
Right. It means that the highest form of love is our volition. It's a real fancy word just to say our choice. It's a choice. It's our choice. We choose to love. And love needs to be more of our priority in our lives as we grow in our ability to love others. The second one I will share with you is, does misfortune follow some people? And this is really good. In Proverbs, this is a word of wisdom that we shared, moment of wisdom. In Proverbs 13:21 says that misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. And if you've noticed that some people just seem to get all the bad luck, and they say, I just keep bad luck, just keeps happening to me. And it's just one, you get out of one mess, there's another mess. There's another mess. And it's like, okay, what part? Is there a connection to all of this? You know, if you are away from God, things are going to happen.
That's right.
Things are going to happen. We can't be surprised that misfortune is following us, because how could things go well?
Right.
When we are not under the protection and the blessing of the Lord. And God, through his word, you know, has told us that we should not live to, you know, attempt to have a life independent of God. Because if we do, there are consequences. But on the contrast, he'll bless us if we follow the Lord and make Jesus the Lord of our life and do everything he instructs us. So there is a way. The last one we want to share with you as we come to the end is, if you miss your season, you'll miss your harvest. And we talk about this moment of wisdom that a sluggard does not plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks but finds nothing. It's very simple. If you want to make a withdrawal, you got to be able to have made a deposit.
That's right. That's how it works.
And there is a season that's coming. There is a season of harvest. There's a season of blessing. But you know what? The person that's inactive, that's lazy, that's not engaged in the things of God, in the time of harvest, in the time of blessing, in the time of the outpouring, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because you didn't invest in the things of God. We want to encourage you, invest all you have now so that when the harvest comes, you'll be right there in the middle of it.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.